Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to this special weekend podcast we do for you every other weekend. We like to highlight some of the really great interviews we do on the radio show. It's not due to me, but great guests, and you deserve to hear from them. If you'd like to listen to the radio show live, go to Bongino.com any weekday. Click on Station Finder to find out where there's a station near you. We've got a great lineup for you this weekend as well. Let me get to our first sponsor. Going online without ExpressVPN is like using your smartphone without a protective case. Listen, most of the time you'll probably be okay, but all it takes is one big drop onto solid concrete and it'll make you wish you protected yourself. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, your online data, it's not secured. Hackers can get on the same network, can access and steal your personal data. It was just a story on the news about this the other day. Some of you saw it. Doesn't even take a lot of technical knowledge to hack someone. Your data is valuable. They sell it. They're selling you. ExpressVPN, they create a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so these hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Don't be a victim. Don't be a news story. Take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. It's easy to use. I'm not that tech savvy. I've told you that. I use it. You fire up the app, you click a button, you're protected. It's that simple. Works on all devices so you can stay secure on the go. Listen, no one should be peeping in on what you're doing online. It is your business. You don't need the government watching you, hackers, or anyone else. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Bongino. That's E-X-P-R-E-S-S, expressvpn.com/Bongino, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Bongino. This is going to be one of the best interview shows we've done in a long time. First up, one of my personal favorite guests, producer Jim knows, too. We both love him. Mike Benz, nobody knows the deep state better than this guy. Every time he comes on, I turn over the show to him. You know why? People come back to me later and go, we want more, because he's so good. He's so good. I'm going to play this for you in the weekend show, and you're going to love it even more, even if you're hearing it the second time, because there's so much information in here. Listen to this amazing interview. One of my favorite guests. There's simply no one better at reporting on the deep state, but uncovering the mechanics of it. It's easy to talk about the deep state, but you know, then we tend to get lost in all these, you know, labels, but not actually what they do. That's the important part. You can follow him. He's on X at Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z, cyber, at Mike Benz cyber. You can also subscribe for his content there as well. It's fantastic. We use it all the time. Tried to get him last week, but he wasn't available. But we got him today. We're happy to have him. Mike Benz, welcome back to the show.
Dan, great to chat as always.
Always. Your content's just superb. I used it on Friday. You had put out a video, Mike. It's just fantastic. It's about another 30 minutes or so, and you really undress the whole CIA, DOJ, NGO, university censorship complex in a way so digestible. I encourage everyone to go to X and watch the entire thing. It's well worth your time. We played some cuts of it. But Mike, I'm really worried. We got an election coming up, obviously. And my question to you, because this is your area of expertise. They did a really good job at the thievery in the 2020 election, hiding information about mail-in ballots, the Hunter Biden laptop. Do you think with X and Elon and Rumble and these other platforms, True Social, is it going to be as effective this time? Are you as, I know it's a problem, the censorship complex, I get it, but do you see it as big of a problem as it was in 2020 with the new change to free speech in a lot of these platforms?
The change to free speech is absolutely massive. You know, a big part of their plan involves controlling perceptions of legitimacy. This is a State Department priority whenever we do color revolution work, whenever we do counterinsurgency work. Controlling the public perception of the legitimacy of an election is a way to ensure insurgents can seize power, because you can do, if the public perceives that the election was illegitimate, then extraordinary means of seizing power from the illegitimate government are legitimized, because the government wasn't really legitimate. You could do the coup under the guise of a counter coup, because you're not really couping a legitimately elected government, you are stopping the coup of a illegitimate government. And this was a huge part of how they framed the 2020 censorship operations and how they framed the 2020 legal operations that were being done in the background by Norm Eisen and co. And so it is actually a very potent weapon in our arsenal to be able to open our mouths this time. And the fact is they still have several tricks up their sleeve. The main one is a dual threat from the state secretaries of state at the state level, who are still partnered with DHS and are still going to be working with particularly the non-X platforms like YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera, to be able to, you know, to be able to do the same sort of censorship work they're doing before. And the main threat to X right now for the election cycle is that at some point before November, the disinformation regulations from the EU Digital Services Act, which is essentially the NATO censorship law, which is effectively the State Department censorship law, is going to boomerang back on X and require them to censor election misinformation. Now, they have not yet finalized the rules on what election misinformation means in that context. My fear is we have a brand new threat this time. We have unsolved issues around the voting machines, and you know, and lawfare associated with that. Anyone who talked about the issues around Dominion, for example, last election season had their faces sued off, like Fox News and such. And that is an excellent way to be able to cover up an operation, is to basically use a hometown court, a hometown judge, to seal the issue shut by economically terrifying anyone who questions it. Meanwhile, last week in Puerto Rico, it was reported that, you know, even the Associated right. Press has covered this, that Dominion basically, you know, flipped the election results with false counting of their electronic voting machines. 130,000 votes Dominion got wrong, and now Puerto Rico is pissed. But at the same time, the U.S. State Department has been pushing these voting machines on everyone. In Brazil, the very country that has effectively terrorized Elon Musk, effectively banning the platform, forcing people to go China style and use a VPN to access the X platform there, they've got a criminal probe into Elon Musk simply for allowing free speech in the country. Well, guess what happened in Brazil's 2022 election? Not only do you have the Financial Times report that the CIA, the DOD, and the State Department all simultaneously descended on that election to so-called fortify it, just like what happened here in the U.S., but that the State Department bent over backwards in order to get Brazil to use electronic voting machines. This is a very strange story, and you can look it up in the Financial Times. But the State Department, there were not enough electronic voting machines in Brazil, and this is in 2022, way post-COVID. In October 2022, they were going to hand count ballots as always, but the State Department stepped in, basically told the Brazilian government that they should be using these electronic voting machines. And then they ran special orders using back channels to Taiwan to get Taiwan Semiconductor to basically provide the parts for this, you know, three or four times more electronic voting machines than Brazil had ever used. And it was a razor tight election that was basically, you know, 50.1 to 49.9 in order to have that election go the way that it did and install the censorship and totalitarian regime they're now under in Brazil. So we've unsolved issues from that, but then we have a whole new threat related to the illegal immigrant situation and these State Department funded NGOs that are it's actually on the top of my X feed right now, which is that these illegal immigrants don't even need to vote on election day. They can simply fill out a ballot, and the same NGOs who USAID and the State Department are bringing into the country can simply harvest those ballots. That could swing the election, even if, you know, and that's something I'm not sure that the GOP is currently taking sufficient action to stop.
Mike, can I address that with you? Because that was the opening hour of my show and my podcast today was specifically on this, because this is the nexus of two of the big things you focus on. By the way, we're talking to Mike Benz. He is on X at Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z, cyber. Strongly recommend you follow and subscribe to his content. You discuss often information warfare, and you also discuss manipulation of election results, soft coups, hard coups. This replacement theory, demographic destiny, this is the intersection of both of them. The liberals are engaged in an information warfare regime to get you to stop talking about the obvious by throwing out the racist red herring. Oh, look, it's right. Don't you dare mention that. Meanwhile, all I do, Mike, is play literal cuts of leftists talking endlessly about demographic destiny. This is the same thing as the Dominion lawsuit and this other stuff. It's a way to kind of in advance write the foreword to the book so that they can scare people from discussing voter fraud and efforts to use illegal immigrants to manipulate election results by just claiming racist or filing some lawsuit or trying to tar you. I got about 4 or 5 minutes left, but you can take it and talk about that.
Yeah, well, one of the things that's important to keep in mind is that the Dominion issue was the most censored keyword in all of DHS's censorship operation last election cycle. So DHS set, which was basically an outgrowth of this Pentagon State Department intelligence world that all hated Trump, and they parked it in DHS to turn it into essentially a domestic CIA. They said they wanted the CIA to do it, but it's a foreign jurisdiction. They wanted the FBI to do it, but unfortunately, tweets are not a First Amendment violation. And the FBI, the FBI is only licensed to be able to serve as the intelligence arm of the Justice Department. And if you tweet about Dominion or election integrity issues, it's not technically a Justice Department infraction. So they parked it. The only other, we have 17 intelligence agencies. Only two of them are domestic. One of them is the FBI. The other is DHS. So in 2020, they set up this whole election censorship operation out of DHS to get the power of the CIA to be able to manipulate media and censor editorial desks and abroad with the domestic jurisdiction of the FBI by parking it at DHS because it's free from the Justice Department constraint. Now, they had 22 million tweets in their own network that they categorized as comprising misinformation narratives. So, for example, Stop the Steal had 2.2 million tweets associated with it. So they got all the Facebook groups that were in and all the viral tweets. They got those all either algorithmically throttled or they got all the accounts suspended who talked about that. But the number one of all the narratives was Dominion voting systems. It was at 7 million. 7 million tweets were categorized as misinformation about that. And that virality circuit breaker is no longer applied this time. But what I'll say about the illegal immigrant situation is we're at a political impasse because half of the Republican Party is on the side of open borders. If you remember, Bernie Sanders actually had a quote in 2015 when he was running for office, and he was asked about open borders. And he said, open borders, that's a right-wing policy. That's a Koch brothers proposal, because the Chamber of Commerce companies benefit from having a flood of cheap labor in the country, that it breaks up unions, it crams down worker wages. And so you have this issue where a lot of the Republican power base were these blue chip corporations because they used to love Republicans because they were free enterprise, they were low taxes, but they were also globalist under the Bushes, under the Reagans, under the Eisenhowers. As the Republican Party, as MAGA has sort of turned the Republican Party into a sort of half nationalist populist faction, these blue chip corporations are now siding with the Democrats on the open borders issue in Texas. This is one of the issues with why we can't get reform in Texas. The Republican State Assembly impeached Ken Paxton, the hardest state AG in the game right now. And so you have a military interest in open borders because there's a bill in place to try to legalize, provide a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants who join the military at a time when there's a big recruiting shortfall. So you have a military interest in open borders. You have a Democrat interest in open borders politically, but you have a Republican interest in open borders commercially. And this really now comes down to the heart and soul of, are we a country or are we an economic zone?
Yeah. Mike, listen, I think that's been the profound change in the Republican or conservative shift that we can thank Donald Trump for. I think first it's been his recruitment of traditionally non-Republican voter demographics like Black and Hispanic voters. But I think secondly, it's been to open the eyes that there is a downside to illegal immigration, that if you just use it as a spreadsheet, oh, look, we can get cheap labor and other things, that there's clearly going to be a consequence. Mike, I only got 2 minutes left, but last point, 2 minutes. Do you really believe that given X and, like I said, Rumble and Truth, do you believe that we can have a free and fair and honest election with the massive amount of censorship you and I both know is coming? Because we may have X and Rumble, but we sure as hell don't have YouTube and Facebook. Are enough voters going to see the information to make an informed decision?
I think they're starting to, because we're starting to see it from so many different angles. I mean, the fact is, there's nobody deeper in the tech world than the Silicon Valley folks. And they just had a sold out fundraiser where people were coming out of the woodwork. David Sachs and Chamath, raised, I think, $12 million in a single weekend with a bunch of Silicon Valley tech heads. And a lot of these folks are involved in, you know, the information distribution ecosystem. The fact is Elon just got approved his $54 billion compensation package again. That is all monies that can help with legal funds, as he's been doing to support people who've been censored on X. That is all sort of, you know, capital that can be put to use for freedom, as he applied $44 billion to purchase Twitter in the first place. You know, the question is, you know, assuming the free speech issue is significantly better than 2020, even though it will be not as good as it was in 2016, is there enough infrastructure in place to be able to stop these kind of USAID pass through, you know, which is in USAID is effectively a CIA cutout. And so you have our State Department and USAID, our foreign policy establishment, hates Trump's anti-globalist foreign policy, and they're piling in the illegal immigrants to be able to use those same NGOs to harvest those ballots. You know, right now, as I see it, the top concern is what is being done to stop that specific angle of attack, because most of these folks aren't fluent in English, you know, let alone having a knowledge base of you know, who to vote for, other than the president who illegally let them in. You know, this is something, yeah. This is a Tammany Hall, you know, a New York City scandal from the 1800s on steroids this time. And
you know, Mike, I got to run. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't want the computer to cut us off, and I want to make sure I get another promo in for your content. Mike Benz, he's on Twitter, X at Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z, cyber. As you can tell, one of the best commentators. Mike, you're just invaluable to the show. We so appreciate your time and your exposing the deep state. I wish we had more time, but we'll definitely have you back. You're welcome anytime. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks for your leadership, Dan. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Mike Benz, man, I told you, this is no one better. All you got to do, the great thing about Mike Benz, Jim, is all you got to do is ask him a question, and he explains. You ask him about chapter one, he explains the whole book. Boom. Up next, another great interview for you, but let's check out our next sponsor first. Hey, you having trouble sleeping or staying asleep? Trust me, I've been there. I'm there a lot. It's not just about feeling tired the next day. It's about the toll poor sleep can take on every aspect of your life. But guess what? There's hope on the horizon. Comes in the form of Beams Dream Powder. This stuff's been a game changer for me. You see, when we're sleeping well, we can be sharper, more focused, and ready to tackle whatever life throws our way. And today, my listeners get a special discount on Beams Dream Powder. It's a science-backed hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep's never tasted better. Other sleep aids can cause the next day grogginess. We don't like that. But Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. You want to try it? Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, where Beam is now offering Bongino listeners an exclusive discount. Get up to 45% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Bongino. Or use code Bongino for up to 45% off. Shopbeam.com/Bongino. We talked to one of the best organizers on the ground in the country. If you don't know this guy's name, you should. His name is Scott Pressler. He's doing amazing work organizing voters, getting voters out. He's a very inspirational guy, too. Give this a listen. You know, folks, if when you're alive as long as I've been, closing in on my 50th year on this rock we call Earth, right? It's, you know, I hate simple categories, but one of the best ways to kind of break down people into groups is you got a lot of talkers and a lot of doers. Reminds me of the old, you know, Mike Tyson line. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, right? You got to do something about it. This guy's a doer in every sense of the word. Scott Pressler, he is out there organizing voters, registering people to vote. A guy who doesn't talk but gets it done. Scott, welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you back.
Hey, Dan. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, listen, you're welcome. So one of the areas, nobody knows the ground game better than you. No one. They may know it as well, but not better. Because you're actually out there. What's your priority right now? I've noticed you're spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania. I took a few notes on Pennsylvania during the break. Latest average of polls shows Donald Trump up between 2 and 3 points, which would be a major shift and would probably seal the election for him. What's your feel on Pennsylvania having pressed the flesh with a lot of people and registered some voters? Give us some trends over there.
Thank you. Let's talk data. 2 years ago in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the Democrats had an advantage of 595,000 more registered D's than ours. Today, that gap has been narrowed to 379,000 more D's than ours, showing that in just 2 years' time, under 200,000, we have narrowed the gap, the deficit. I mean, Pennsylvania is trending to the right like a speeding bullet. And I'm talking to you right now, Dan Bongino, from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Now, let's talk that county real quick. This is a county outside of Philadelphia, suburban, voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, voted for Joe Biden in 2020, and 4 years ago, in June 2020, there were 15,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. And today, Dan, I'm very proud to tell you that we are 720 voters away from flipping Bucks County to Republican. That is earth-shattering. And so the data is speaking volumes that the wind is at our sails, but it's not just about registering voters, which is my priority from now until October 21st. But ultimately, we got to get those people to vote, whether it's on November 5th, whether it's early in person, or whether it's by mail. We have to lock in every single gosh darn vote.
Scott, I don't want to miss this opportunity. Folks, Scott needs help. So I just want you to please promote what you're doing, because this is really, I hate the word literally, but in this case, it matters. This is literally changing lives and elections, right? If we lose, this country's done. How can people help you?
Thank you. Well, you hit the nail on the head. Look, Trump's doing well in Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Georgia, the Sun Belt, right? But we're not going to take our feet off the pedal. You hear me loudly and clearly. We win Pennsylvania, Donald Trump wins the White House, and we secure America's future. I am one of the only voices focused on Pennsylvania, and I need your financial help. And I'm not going to spend money on silly television advertisements, nor on brick and mortar. Any resources that you pump into earlyvoteaction.com. That's earlyvoteaction.com. Any resources that you very generously support to my organization, I promise you, will go immediately to hiring boots on the ground, to making sure that we're at the York State Fair and every farmer's market and every gun show, and that when the students come back to school on campus, that we're at Penn State University, and not only in Center County, but also in Dauphin, and we'll go to Slippery Rock, and we'll go to Temple, like we are this weekend, to see our great president at the Trump rally in Philly. And he's not coming, Dan, to South Philly. He's coming to North Philly, to Temple University. So if you want to make sure that we have the ground game necessary to register people, to make sure that they are locking their vote on Tuesday, November 5th or otherwise, then please support us financially at earlyvoteaction.com.
Earlyvoteaction.com. Humbly request you all go visit the site. If you have the ability to help Scott, and if you doubt anything he's saying, that this is all some nonsense gibberish and he's just making this up, go look at his Twitter, his X feed, True Social. Go just check it out. And you'll see every day numbers, updates, people that register in county breakdowns. Folks, this is what changes elections. The Democrats have kicked our asses at this in the past, and it's time we make up ground. Scott, couple questions for you. Are you seeing, let's just stick with Pennsylvania as a microcosm of the country, but it's an area, again, if we win Pennsylvania, there's very little chance Biden wins. So let's, you know, knock on wood, no red wave talk. Everybody's got to get out and vote and bring 10 people. However, are you seeing new voter registrations for the Republican Party, or are you seeing more people switch? In other words, already voting, of the voting populace switch from Democrat to Republican. What are you seeing more of?
Well, babe, this is new. I'm getting people that are 70 years old that have never voted in their entire lives, and they register to vote with me at the Philly Expo Center or at the Great American Outdoor Show. And why that's so important is because we have 930,000 hunters in Pennsylvania, and 30% of those hunters are not registered to vote. That is the election, Dan, right there. I'm getting people that are former felons that are convicted to vote for President Trump, as I am. And get this, not only did I go to the DuPage County Jail, which you can see a video of me courting the inmate vote, literally reaching across the aisle and talking to people that have suffered at the hands of the criminal injustice system like our president is right now. But in Pennsylvania, once you are released from jail, you are eligible to vote. And I am having former felons across the country reach out to me. Scott, I'm in Missouri. Scott, I'm in Texas. Scott, I'm in Pennsylvania. How can I help save the country? And so I've been in this education process as well, bringing a lot of new voters into the system who weren't even aware that they could vote. But one thing, I know you have other questions, but I must say this while I have you.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to make it clear that in North Philly this weekend, so what we're doing at Early Vote Action is we're sending out text messages to independent and Democrat voices surrounding Temple University, where Trump is speaking on Saturday. And we're sending text messages to these voters saying, Trump is coming to your neighborhood. Come hear him in person. We are asking for your vote. We want your vote. We are courting your vote. And furthermore, we're going to have teams of volunteers, not only on Saturday, but on Friday, the day before, knocking in North Philly. So people are going to hear about Trump on TV. They're going to hear about Trump on social media. They're going to get a text message to their phone, and they're going to get a knock on their door. And they're going to hear from Republican voices that they probably have not heard in decades. And the last thing that I must say is I want the black vote. I am here to court the black vote. I want to earn the black vote. And we are going to leave no stone unturned in Pennsylvania, making sure that we are electing Donald Trump and saving our country.
Scott Pressler, man, I tell you, you are a fiery guy. I love that about you. And, you know, one of the things I really like about you is what you just said. It is an abomination that we have allowed the Democrat Party that has screwed over the black community so awfully. I mean, just look at the numbers that we have not, we've done almost nothing, nothing. And folks, in case you're out there thinking, oh, well, what have you done? I ran for office in Maryland. There's a huge, wealthy black population in Maryland. I knocked on doors in Prince George's County. There are pictures of me still on Instagram at Lexington Market in Baltimore. The city of Baltimore, not the county. They're two different places. Sitting there shaking hands with people who, folks, I knew were never going to vote for me, but it mattered. It's our obligation to the movement to show up. Now, you're on the ground. Scott, a lot of liberal Democrats are still, they have blinders on with the black vote. They're saying, oh, this isn't real. These polls showing Donald Trump with phenomenal levels of black support. No Republican in modern history has done. They're saying it's all fake. It's all an illusion. It's a fake oasis in the desert. You're actually on the ground, brother. What are you seeing?
Good. Let them think it's an illusion. Let them underestimate us. Let them on their hands while we go out and court the black vote and the Hispanic vote and the former felon vote and the frat boy vote and the hunter vote and the veteran vote and the youth vote, because young people don't want to fight Joe Biden's wars. And anyone that is 18 to 26, the vote for Joe Biden is a vote to be shipped overseas to fight his wars that we did not have under President Trump. We did not have Putin invade Ukraine. We did not have Hamas genocide Israel. A vote for Joe Biden is a vote for war. And so I hope that those Democrats still think that we are not a threat, that the black community and Republicans are not coming together. I hope that they continue to feel that way while we this weekend are going to make history reaching out and courting the black vote in a way that has never been done in North Philly at Temple University.
Scott, one more question, but just again, the website, and give out your social media handles as well, because your social media is great. I want people to see on social media you're doing. You're not talking. You have the results. So the website and your social media accounts.
So I run my own social media. No one else does. So when you get a message from me, it's me. You can slide into my DMs in the most wholesome of manner at Scott Pressler, S-C-O-T-T-P-R-E-S-1-S-L-E-R. You can also follow my organization at Early Vote Action and see our hundreds of volunteers that are registering voters and writing postcards and sending text messages and making phone calls. And last, again, I'm saying this humbly to you with 5 months to save our country. Please support financially my organization. This is mine, not the GOP, not the RNC, not anybody else's. Earlyvoteaction.com.
Folks, I don't have this guy on. We don't even do a lot of guests on the show. I think you know that. We're going to be having Scott on a lot from now to the election because I'm just done with talkers, man. I'm done with it. Scott, last question. I'll let you go. Again, we're focusing on Pennsylvania only because it's such a critical. We win Pennsylvania. There's almost no math for Joe Biden to win. And it is a microcosm of the whole country. You got big cities. You got big suburbs. We did not do well in 2020 in what they call collar counties and suburbs that surround big cities. They collar the big cities. Biden won Pennsylvania, collar county suburbs by about 15, 19 points in Pennsylvania. Polls now are showing him up by only 5 or 6 points. So we're making up ground in the suburbs, too. I got about 2 minutes left. But again, you're on the ground in the Pennsylvania collar counties. Are you seeing that change or is just some poll anomaly?
No, we're seeing it. And in fact, in the last 7 days, over 1,200 Democrats switched to Republican across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Why is that significant? The primary was on April 23rd. There is no reason for people to change their party affiliation. This is happening anyway. And it's happening in Montgomery and Chester and Delaware. 300 Democrats in Philadelphia switched from D to R in the last 7 days alone. In Dauphin County and Northampton and Lehigh and Allegheny and Erie and Center, we are seeing a movement sweeping across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And again, we're courting the Jewish vote because the Democrats are embracing Hamas. We're courting the young vote because we don't want to send young people to war that Joe Biden will do. We're courting the Amish vote because the Democrats are coming after raw milk and religious freedom. We're courting the former felon vote because we see the weaponization of our injustice system. We are courting hunters and veterans because if every gun owner in America voted, we would save our country. We would elect Donald Trump and we would give him a Congress that he can work with to actually legislate things like no taxes on tips. And the last thing is I am asking you, every person that you meet from now until Election Day, I need you to be bold. When you're at the gas station, when you're at the supermarket, when you're at Home Depot or Lowe's or Cabela's or Best Pro Shop or Boot Barn, I want you to end every single human interaction with asking that person that you spoke to for their consideration to vote for Donald Trump this November. You leave no stone unturned because we have 5 months until the most important election of our lives. And I need you to act like it, not just with our words and our policies, but you use your actions to register voters, to talk to people, and do everything you can to get out the vote on Tuesday, November 5th for Donald Trump and our entire Republican ticket.
Man, brother, I got to tell you, it's not often I'm overwhelmed by an interview. Believe me, I don't even do a lot of guests, but I like that so much. We're going to put that on the weekend podcast show as well next week. Early vote. Give me the website one last time. I got to rumble. What's the website again, Scott?
Thank you. Please support me at earlyvoteaction.com. That's earlyvote, V-O-T-E, action.com.
Hey, man, we will 100% be having you back. You're doing God's work out there. God bless you, my brother. And we will be booking you many times before the election. Thanks for what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan Longino. Thank you.
You got it. Up next, another great guest. But first, our next sponsor. We recently had monumental news that no one's talking about. For the first time in our history, it's been reported that the interest we pay on the national debt surpassed every individual budget item except Social Security. That's right. The U.S. now spends more on interest than on national defense or even Medicare. And it's only getting worse as big government continues to spend like drunken sailors. That's why savvy investors, central banks, and concerned savers are turning to gold, something not tied to the inflated U.S. dollar. You can, too, with the help of Birch Gold, B-I-R-C-H. For over 20 years, Birch Gold Group has helped thousands of Americans protect their savings by converting an IRA or 401k into an IRA in physical gold. To learn more, text DAN to 989898. Claim your free, no-obligation info kit on gold today. Birch Gold has earned my trust with their education-first approach, their thousands of happy customers, me included, and their countless five-star reviews, which is why I buy my gold from Birch Gold. Help protect your savings. Text DAN to 989898 today. Message and data rates apply. We talk with the best journalists in the business. Yes, there are actual journalists left. Julie Kelly about her breaking story about General Mark Milley and his role in the lack of protection in the Capitol on January 6th. If you haven't heard this, this one's an eye-opener. Take a listen. Rocketing around social media was an article by the great Julie Kelly, who is with us now. Julie, thanks for spending some time with us again today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me on. And actually, it is my researcher, Haley McLean, who put that article together, and I posted it on my Substack. So
it's she's amazing.
A tremendous researcher, right, isn't it?
Pretty yeah, funny. I read the piece, and folks, this thing went nuclear this weekend. I was alone this weekend, so I had some time. And I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, how is it that we're just talking about this now? So correct me if I'm wrong, Julie, but the gist of the piece is basically a simple question. What the hell was Mark Milley doing on January 6th? They claim it was an insurrection, Pearl Harbor, the Civil War, and this high-ranking military official who's Trump's supposed right-hand military is nowhere to be found? What is going on? The piece is just damning.
It is. And even more disconcerting, and I think really alarming, and hopefully House Republicans, or if Donald Trump wins, when he wins, will look into this as well, is what he was doing ahead of time. Why was he talking to Susan Rice? Why was he in communication constantly with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi? You know this, Dan. It is against the law for the U.S. military to be involved in domestic law enforcement. This is a pure violation of what's called posse comitatus. You know, the military, except in a few instances, the National Guard, cannot be involved in domestic law enforcement. And he has admitted all over the place in his book, in his January 6th, his interview with the January 6th Select Committee, in other interviews, that he was flagrantly violating this. In one point in his transcript with the J6 Committee, Dan, he admits that he was surveilling the Proud Boys. What is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff doing monitoring Enrique Tarrio or any of the Proud Boys? So what he did was clearly illegal, but the question is, what was he doing behind the scenes to create or foment the situation that unfolded on January 6th?
We're talking to Julie Kelly. Follow her, Julie_Kelly2 on X. She's on True Social as well. Julie, I got a really, really nasty like pit in my stomach, and it's not from eating bad salmon over this. This January 6th story, which the left's narrative, it was an insurrection. Trump wanted to take down the government, is at this point clearly nonsense. Okay, we can acknowledge January 6th. We wish things would have went better. But the left story at this point is so far out in left field that no sane person would believe it. I'm just going to throw a few things at you. So what you just said about Mark Milley and the National Guard is accurate. Why is no? That's what you just described sounds like a coup. It sounds like the commander in chief's lead military liaison was either completely absent and deficient in his duties when it came to activating the National Guard, or was complicit in some kind of plot to not activate the National Guard. I don't know which one of those stories is more disturbing. Combine that with the fact that we still don't know who the alleged pipe bomber was, the January 6th Secret Service text disappearing, the fact that Cassidy Hutchinson's story about Trump attacking the Secret Service driver, the driver debunked it immediately and they hid that. And I'm starting to think that this January 6th story, that there's something going on, like something really, really bad going on here, that if Trump gets elected, they're really afraid we're going to find out.
That's exactly it, Dan. And this is why, obviously, I've been reporting this since the beginning. And furthermore, Dan, we are still awaiting a Department of Justice Inspector General report that is now long delayed, that will give us more insight into the FBI's role, the number of, not maybe a number, but at least some sort of summary or some sort of grasp at how many FBI confidential human sources or informants were involved before and on January 6th. We already know that they had informants embedded in the Proud Boys, in the Oath Keepers, in the Three Percenters. And we already know that there were informants on the ground. And some of them, as I have reported, were involved in criminal behavior on January 6th. So there's still a lot more that's unraveling. But back to Mark Milley. Also, why was he on calls with the DOJ, with the DOD, with DC law enforcement officials? Why was he involved in those calls leading up to January 6th? Again, this is not something that the top military officer in the country should be doing. and doing it all behind Donald Trump's back. As we know, also, of course, as you know, Mark Milley is a sworn enemy of Donald Trump.
So he's been open about that. That's not hidden. He's been open about that.
And for Mark Milley and Ryan McCarthy, who is the Army Secretary, to be in cahoots before January 6th to draft this memo, this unprecedented memo that basically stripped William Walker, who was the general in charge of the D.C. National Guard at the time, stripped him really of authority to deploy both his troops and this quick reaction force. He has testified that that's never happened before. No one could reach Ryan McCarthy on January 6th, except the media, except Nancy Pelosi. Why was Ryan McCarthy MIA as the National Guard, DC National Guard, is trying to reach him, but he's at DC Metro Police Department preparing to do a press conference with DC Mayor Muriel Bowser? Why was he not reachable until after 5 o'clock to give the final authorization to deploy those troops? I talked to a DC National Guardsman. He said they were at the armory at 6 a.m. on January 6th. They were waiting to be told to go to the Capitol. And they were not authorized to go until after 5 o'clock.
Julie, none of this makes sense. I mean, these stories cannot correspond. Okay. They don't marry up. You can't say on one hand, the Democrats, that is, and the media, that this was the most destructive insurrection since the Civil War, and then not answer basic questions like, well, who's the pipe bomber? Have you done any investigation on it? Oh, we don't know. Who tried to, you know, kill or assassinate Kamala Harris? And then this, you got this other issue now about Mark Milley in this piece on your Substack, right? Why would they change the National Guard deployment logistics at the last minute? In other words, taking out the lead official's ability to deploy them, leaving it with the Army, Secretary McCarthy, and essentially Milley is Trump's right-hand guy, and then McCarthy's MIA. That's what I don't understand, and I have a theory. I was thinking of this while I was doing my podcast. Is it possible they stripped the National Guard of the executive's ability to deploy the National Guard there, thinking Donald Trump was going to engage in some illegal usurpation of power? And then all of a sudden, January 6th happens, something gets out of control, and they realize, oh my gosh, we screwed this whole thing up. But hey, look, now we're in charge. Maybe we just let this thing kind of stew a little bit. I mean, there's no other reasonable, rational explanation, because they knew the political fallout would benefit them and hurt Donald Trump.
That's exactly right. And I think that is one way to look at it. Plus, we also know, Dan, in addition to this, now we know Capitol Police had intelligence. The FBI had intelligence. There was going to be problems. DOJ had intelligence. Capitol Police had intelligence about this. You have all of these law enforcement entities, DC Metro, who said that they had intelligence that there might be some sort of violence. They were constantly in communication days before. You had the DOJ deploy shoot to kill commandos at Quantico the weekend before January 6th. What were they doing there? And what was the acting attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, who also is, of course, stabbing Trump in the back those last few weeks, refusing to investigate election fraud? Why did he have the hostage rescue team at Quantico stationed there the weekend before January 6th? We still have so many records and communications we have not seen. And it is pivotal because, to your point, you know, this was used to, and is still trying to be used to, end the MAGA movement and destroy Donald Trump and lawmakers. We've seen this happen. But Julia, there's so much more we need to find out.
I know a listener named Curtis just messaged us on Facebook and says, I think it's time for you to write a follow up to the January 6th book. Julie has a book out called January 6th, I think he's right. Julie, this case, listen, I say this as objectively as possible. I love Donald Trump, endorsed him early, but I'm not dumb. If I thought Donald Trump was really engaged in an actual insurrection to annihilate the United States government, folks, I have a moral, ethical, legal, and faith-based obligation to tell you about it. This case, there is something not right here. Now, when you put this all together, and Milley's history of doing really insane things that if it was any other president other than Donald Trump, Milley would probably find himself in the brig somewhere. Remember, it was Milley who's this, there was this whole story about Milley and this coordinating with China. If there were to be some kind of attack, that he would let them know. This is a guy with a documented history. I mean, the War Room folks wrote about your Substack piece, and they said, despite Milley's claims of maintaining neutrality, McClain suggests that his actions were politically motivated. Milley's own words, as cited by these two lefty reporters, were on Trump. He stated, Milley, I'll just fight him. And he said, if they want to court-martial me or put me in prison, have at it. This is coup language. They're his words. It's not mine.
It is. It's really stunning. And how Haley put it together, and of course, researching this in his book and his transcript with the J6 committee and other sources, really pieces together what you're saying. And this is why it went so viral over the weekend. People are really stunned that, you know, she just pieced all of this together and painted this portrait of this sinister man who we already know basically is a traitor, who was communicating with hostile countries, China and others, to assure them that Donald Trump wasn't going to do anything in his last few weeks as president. That's not his job. And I'm going to give you another kicker, Dan. After January 6th, Mark Milley took all of his records and communications related to January 6th and classified them at the highest level.
This is
so no one can see them.
I mean, combine that with, again, the Secret Service texts missing as they were evacuating Kamala Harris from the alleged pipe bomb at the DNC. The fact that they knew early on Trump did not, in fact, attack a Secret Service driver because the driver was willing to talk. Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney's efforts to suppress certain people being on the January 6th committee. This case, Julie, I only got a minute.
Hiding
I was going to wrap it up.
Hiding the videos.
There is something not right here, folks. If you are an objective observer, there's something not right. Just quick, Julie, because I should have wrapped this up. I'm out of time, but do you think this should be the biggest focus of an incoming Donald Trump DOJ, a full investigation of the events of that day? Should this, Milley included?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it has to be his priority. And of course, then the release of everyone whose lives have been destroyed, 1,400 plus defendants and counting, whose lives have been destroyed by this J6 vicious prosecution.
Well, I encourage you to follow listener Curtis's advice and January 6th, the sequel. Part two or something like that, Julie, because there's so much more here between J6, the pipe bomb, Milley, the Secret Service text. I mean, the story is just exploded. It is a major scandal. Folks, if you want to read this piece, which went nuclear, you can find it on Julie Kelly's Substack. She's also on X at Julie_Kelly2. I strongly encourage you to give her a follow on that, True Social as well. And check her Substack out. It's well worth your time. Julie, thanks so much for coming on today. I know you're in high demand after this piece. We appreciate it.
Always grateful to be on, Dan. Thanks so much.
You got it. Folks, this Milley, Mark Milley scandal is outrageous. And being that it's the third or fourth story about this guy, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get me some real suspicions about what went on there. Up next, an interview with someone very close to the show. This might have been the weirdest interview yet. Because he's actually the producer, and he had to wrap himself up in his own interview. But first, our next sponsor. The storms in Texas have been crazy the last few weeks. I've been reading about the catastrophic flooding. Bottom line, be prepared in the event of emergency. Have a Jace. It is right here. Here's mine. Have a Jace case on hand. What is it? It's a case of emergency. It's a case of emergency antibiotics everyone should have no matter where you live. Eventually, disaster strikes. The Jace case is a personalized emergency medication kit that contains essential antibiotics and medication that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. You're not going to be prepared without one. Go to jacemedical.com. It's like vase with a J. Fill out the online form. View the terms. Have a Jace medical physician evaluate your request. If eligible, your medications are dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. It's jacemedical.com. Enter code Bongino to get a discount. Hurricane season's around. You've got a whole bunch of geopolitical disasters going on. Do not get caught unprepared. All of this stuff, you name it, be ready, be prepared for an emergency. I'm stocked up. Jace handles everything from the initial online evaluation to medication delivery and ongoing care if I want it. Get your customized case today. by going to jasemedical.com and our code Bongino. That's jasemedical.com, code Bongino, jasemedical.com. Jace Medical and its products are not intended to substitute for professional medical treatment or advice. Consult with your healthcare provider. Thanks, Jace Medical. We interviewed producer Jim about his bestseller. He's a bestseller now. Do you know that, folks? His new book, The Dan Bongino Show Survival Guide. You're going to want to listen to this, how the book started, where it came from. Check this out. All right, I want to welcome to the show a new guest. This guy's electric. You may not have heard of him before. Just found him wandering the streets of Dallas aimlessly. Mike was like, bring this guy in the studio. He looks like he could use some airtime. His name is producer Jim Verde. Producer Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've been here for 3 years, but we'll just pretend you just showed up. So, Jim, you have a new book out today. Folks, it's a real book. There are still people emailing me, and they're like, Dan, is the book real? It's real. As a matter of fact, was it Bill on Bill on Facebook? Bill B. Hey, you got my book today. I got the, good job, Captain Jim. So, is there any people buying it? What's the name of the book, Jim?
It is The Dan Bongino Show Survival Guide. And that is that's a title that you came up with.
It is, and I had very little input into the book, though. But tell the audience why we decided to write this book. We were getting a lot of questions, right, about little gizmos and rules and things we say. So explain to the audience.
Like, for example, I think it happened like maybe after we were recognizing Pantera and the Pantera incident, and then you keep getting calls or Facebook messages about, hey, what is the Pantera incident? I don't know what that is.
Right.
And you told me you should write a book or something about, you know, a little pamphlet or something about that. Well, I got started and I just started thinking about the show and how the whole thing came together. And it just came out of me. I was just like vomiting up all this stuff about the radio show and how it started. It's like I didn't know I needed to get it out, but I needed to get it out, so I got it out. And
folks, he's not kidding. And Jim, you're being humble about it, but so I kind of was joking with him when I said that. Because the Pantera incident, if you want to know what the Pantera incident was, it's in the book. I don't want to take away time. It's called The Dan Bongino Show Survival Guides by producer Jim. It's his thing. It's not my thing. I'm the publisher, but it's his book. But he sends me the manuscript, and really, I thought it was going to be like a gag gift. You know, like Michael Knowles had that book out, Reason to Vote for Democrats, and it's blank. And I thought it'd be a gag thing. Like, you do like a 20, 30-page book with some, here are the Dan Bongino rules. Folks, the book is like a serious book, man. I couldn't put it down. He sends me the manuscript. One, he's an excellent writer. I know that because I'm a crap writer. I have hanging participles everywhere. Editors always catch. But he's a great writer. And there's a couple of chapters. It's not like a history book. I mean, you can read it in a couple hours, easy. But the first couple of chapters about the history of talk radio and how Jim got, it was really incredible. I was like, damn, I forgot all that stuff happened in talk radio. That was, I think, one of the best parts, Jim.
That was one of my favorite stories was you never call me on the weekends. You know, we get to call on Sunday and you leave a voicemail with all the prep and everything. But Saturday morning, about 11 o'clock, and I had sent it. I don't know why I got up like 6:30 in the morning that morning, and I realized I had to send it to you because you wanted to read it first. And then at 11 o'clock, my phone rings, and it's you, and I'm like, oh, man, something must be up. And the first thing you said was, Jim, you wrote a book. I'm like, yeah, I know I wrote a book. He goes, no, but like, you wrote
an actual book.
Yeah.
Jim, I got to tell you, you probably thought I was calling you because it was Saturday. Like, man, that Friday date night must have been rough. What the hell is he calling me for on a Saturday? So I get up early that morning. I don't know, early for a Saturday. And I decide, let me open Jim's book, see how it is. And I'm telling you, I love Jim, but folks, I didn't know what to expect. I had only known him about 2.5 years at that point, which in radio time may be a lot. But for me, I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting. She could have been. And I was really uncomfortable because I thought, just being candid, if this is terrible, I like Jim a lot. We're friends. Like, how do I tell him? So that's why I called him right away because I'm like, damn, dude, this is a really good book. I figured I'll read a few chapters and then get to a few tomorrow. I read the whole thing straight through. So one of the other things I find really funny is we have a bunch of things we do on the show. And folks, I've always been candid that the things we do, the greatest broadcaster of all time is Rush Limbaugh. He just is. And what I loved about his show, and Jim, please chime in against your book, is he always had these things with his audience that developed this bond, like the Rio Linda.
Right.
If you didn't know what Rio Linda was, you had to go look it up. Like, he wasn't going to explain it 1,000 times. So I said, if I ever do radio, I'm not going to invent mediocrity. I'm going to replicate genius. And I thought, that's a really cool thing. Like the Pantera incident when it happened on the show. We refer to it all the time. Eric is our official Pantera recognizer. But we do get really a lot of questions. Dan, why do you play Pantera every week? So that was kind of the genesis. And I know you got that. And I know you have the Goofy Glue incidents in there, too.
Right. But that's the thing that really does bond you to an audience, is that you have these inside things. There's just a local station here in town in the DFW area that's just perfected this, where it's a lot of inside jokes and everything. And if you know, you know. And that was one of the reasons, an impetus for the book was to get the people who are passionate about the show, if they don't know what some of those things are, this is all explained for them. But it's also about a history about how we all came together. I like the story, and it's been told a little bit before. You didn't necessarily want me to do the show. You wanted somebody else to do the show.
No, not necessarily. I didn't want you to do that. This is in the book. Jim's being nice. Folks, we both work with this woman, Teresa G, right? She's a big shot at Westwood. I don't even know what her title is. She's the viceroy of the eastern regions or something. That's her.
Right.
It's probably really her title. Who knows? But she's not the CEO. It's Colin and stuff. But the kid's guy, not instead. But she's the one I deal with. She deals with me and Levin and others and stuff like that. We all work for the same company, Shapiro. And when they first offered me the job, obviously Rush Limbaugh dies. And who the hell wants that job? Who's going to take the place of Rush Limbaugh? I mean, seriously, I love Bobby Mercer. But if you're asking who's Bobby Mercer, Jim, who's Bobby Mercer?
Bobby Mercer's the center fielder who took over for Mickey Mantle.
Exactly. And if you're not a Yankees fan, you know Mickey Mantle. Bobby was a great player, but he wasn't Mickey Mantle. So I didn't want the job. But if I was, and it's not, I love it now, but don't take that the wrong way. But if I was going to do it, I was going to bring my own team, and I wanted somebody else. So Teresa says to me, I know this guy, Jim Verde. And I look him up. There's not much out there on him, but she's like, he's the best. And I'm thinking, I don't want this cat. I don't even know this guy. And then she's like, I got this other guy, Mike. I'm like, I definitely don't want him. I'm like, I don't know who that guy is either. So we decide to get on a conference call, and what happened?
So we get on the conference call, and basically it's Teresa and two of the other bigwigs at Westwood One, and it's me and you, and we just start talking back and forth. The next thing I know, an hour has gone by, and nobody said a word except me and you, and I'm like, does anyone else want to pipe in? And they're like, no, we're just kind of enjoying the show. And then, you know, you signed off and said, I guess he's going to be okay. My favorite story, though, before that, because I was warned a little beforehand, when they were telling you about me, I guess Paula must have looked me up or something online.
Right.
And Teresa had heard her say in the background, he's a Mets fan. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh, that was almost fatal. Bro, that was almost fatal. You're lucky I had moved out of New York and had been exposed to Orioles games for long enough that my pinstripes kind of like watered down a little bit. But yes, Jim is a diehard Mets fan. Folks, the book is called The Dan Bongino Show Survival Guide. Is by my producer here, Jim Verde, V-E-R-D-I. The book's incredible. You have my word. If you don't like it, I'd be very disappointed. It's that good. It is. When I read it in probably 2 hours. And if you're a P1 listener, the book's for you. But honestly, even if you're a Monday, Tuesday, maybe Friday listener a couple days a week, I promise you, you're going to find this book really interesting. Jim really did a good job on it. Jim, one last thing. If we talk about the rules all the time, you know, don't get dead. Most Republicans are really Democrats, but no Democrats are really Republicans. If you want a full list of the rules, are they in the book?
The rules are there, and very detailed explanations, examples, analogies of how everything is applied. Yes, it's all there. The gold and your theories. Don't forget the theories are in there. The dipsy-doo flipperoo. The Walking Dead theory, all that's in there. Everything that you talk about, and one other thing though that you know you won't say because you're a humble guy too. One of the reasons I wanted to write this book the way I did was because it was an incident that none of us wanted to happen. Is the reason we're all sitting here in these particular chairs, Mike and his, me here, and you over there in Florida, and. It really takes a lot of guts and a lot of confidence to be able to do the Bobby Mercer thing. And you were the guy to step up to do that. And it was really hard. And I hope I paid tribute to Rush in the book as well as explaining the story.
Folks, he does. Matter of fact, there were things about Rush in the book I didn't even know. I mean, Jim's been in radio 10 times longer.
35 years.
Yeah, literally 10 times longer. I've been here 3 years. I mean that not figuratively. So it's just, there's so much good stuff in there. Folks, pick it up today. Sabor producer Jim, I like to take care of my team and highlight their assets. And believe me, these guys, both Jim and Mike, both have been just tremendous personal friends. I tell everyone from my team, you know, you work with me, and the minute you think you work for me, you know, quit because I did it wrong. Because when you work with someone, you care about them and you do your job because you care, not because you feel like you have to. And I think that's the difference here. You know, when I tell Jim, hey, man, I need a segment on something, boom, it's done. I don't ask him a lot, but when I do, done. I need you to do a video with Sean, Trump voice, whatever. Done. Done sometimes before the show is even over. So he's an amazing guy. Pick up the book today. Jim Verde, book is called The Dan Bongino Show Survival Guide. You will not be disappointed. All right, Jim, any final words before we go to break? You got 20 seconds. You better wrap it up or the producer's going to cut you off.
Thank you.
He's like, wait, I
am
the producer.
That's what I got. Thank you.
The producer's going to cut you off. Yes. He's like, right. That's me. He's giving me the rap on himself. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Thanks for listening to this special Sunday interview show. We know we appreciate it. If you want to know what radio station we're on near you, go to Bongino.com, click on Station Finder, and you'll see the map right there. You can also listen to the radio show. Yes, you can listen or watch on Rumble. Rumble.com/Bongino. It video simulcast live from the first 2 hours. The last hour is only for local subscribers. Download the local app and subscribe if you want to watch all 3 hours. We appreciate it. See you back on the show next week.
You just heard Dan Bongino.